Off the Ball, GAA.
Dublin are more vulnerable now that Brian Fenton is gone. And then I was thinking back, geez, the last game Brian Fenton missed for Dublin was the open round of the Leinster Championship against Meath when they absolutely tanked them.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. Off the Ball's Rugby Daily with Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Irish rugby. Never stop competing.
Welcome to Monday's Rugby Daily. I'm Richie McCormack. On the way, Leo Cullen and Ronan O'Gara react to Leinster's win away to La Rochelle in the Investec Champions Cup. Warren Gatland includes two uncapped players in his Wales squad for the Six Nations. And in South Africa, an investigation is opened after a former Cheetahs prop is murdered. Rugby Daily and Off the Ball is with Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Irish rugby. Never stop competing. First up today, Ronan O'Gara says May will still be the proving ground for Leinster following yesterday's 16-14 win away to La Rochelle. A great defensive effort kept O'Gara's side at bay despite Dylan Lade's try 15 minutes from time. The win guarantees Leinster a home tie in the last 16 of the Investec Champions Cup. La Rochelle are still in pole position to claim the other home tie from the pool, but they need a result away to Benetton on Saturday to guarantee it. Benetton's two bonus points away to Bristol yesterday mean they go into the final round of fixtures on 7 points, the same as Bath, who'll be at the Aviva on Saturday. Leinster head coach Leo Cullen spoke to Leinster TV after yesterday's win.
We knew it was going to be a right battle, didn't we? Like, and I think it's two teams that are, you know, fighting it out for their club, basically. And it's a good physical contest. Not perfect. You know, this time of year, like, it's winter rugby, even though the conditions are good, but it's still, you get that bit of grease, which is a little bit harder to handle, and sort of probably defence is like slightly on top over the course of the game. So, I think we did really well to defend for the first 20 minutes. You know, when we put ourselves under a bit of pressure, where obviously then La Rochelle are able to apply pressure because we don't exit quite in our terms and give away a couple of penalties, obviously, which gives them access as well. So, but then we obviously after weather and the storm, we score a really nice work try, and then we have our nose in front. I think we were quite strong during that period, and but we couldn't quite kick on, which is a frustrating thing. But La Rochelle, again, as we knew, they'd come back in strong in the second half, and it was probably tit for tat. Both teams missed opportunities, I think. But both teams also scrambled well to sort of keep pressure on the attack. Eventually, obviously, they score a try, good try in the corner. Thankfully, that conversion's missed. And then, obviously, both teams missed a couple of penalties after that. So, they have a bit of everything. It's an amazing stadium here, amazing atmosphere, amazing crowd. Great thanks to the Leinster fans for travelling in such great numbers. It means so much to the players. So, to see, you know, so many blue jerseys and flags, and hopefully Edson will need that now next week, because, you know, it's totally different challenges. They turn the page quite quickly, and, you know, it's always going to be that case regardless of how today went. Win, lose or draw, we have a game in Aviva in 6 days time, so hopefully we'll get a big crowd there. And, you know, we need to try and, you know, finish out our work that's gone in to get us to this point, you know, to round off the pool stages, to put us in best position for whatever's after that. So, because the last thing you want to do is undo the good work that we've done so far.
A game of so many moments, and you've outlined some of them there, but there's 15 seconds left on the clock. They set up a drop goal and Josh van der Fleur gets on the boot and gets that massive block in, but you still have to hold on for another 3 minutes. It's unbelievable stuff.
Yeah, I think Josh does, because obviously Josh got held up here in the first place. He was the one, I think, trying to make up for that's the thing. And that's always the way it's going to be. Like, it's never going to be perfect, but like, everyone is scrambling right to the very end, and that's what you want. So, you know, he comes up with a huge moment there. Josh nearly gets a turnover here. I have to look back at some of the rook entry there as well, one of those images that's rattling through my mind at the moment. But listen, I think that was across the board, like, everyone was working hard for each other, and yeah, just did enough.
His La Rochelle counterpart Ronan O'Gara told the media that yesterday's defeat was not a crushing one, and while they're disappointed, all is not lost. O'Gara spoke to Premier Sports after that loss.
7 entries, I think, not that I'm a man for data, but 7 entries into the last 15 metres in the first half, and just probably a concrete example of being a little bit low on confidence and maybe not taking the right option at times. But and in the second half, probably epitomised by the drop goal getting charged, maybe a little bit 5 more metres of room, the ball goes over, but that's okay. I've seen enough today to make me happy.
and for the squad as well. You've spoken at length how it's been a tumultuous start to the season, but that was a real physical test match. Loads of positivity and confidence to take from it. I know it's not the result you want, but bags of energy.
Yeah, exactly. It's very, very positive in that regard. It's, you know, we're in France in the top 14 up to today. We were flying, we're gutted the fact that we couldn't stay in the Flan now for the rest of this campaign, but we got to go to Treviso and make sure we've got a future in the competition. But once we get accurate and we add that to what we have today, we'll be interesting.
What do you expect from Treviso? You bounce straight back, another round of competition, still a chance to fly high and qualify. What are they going to throw at you?
They'll throw, it's winter rugby, it's tough. You know, I think we just need to be a little bit more accurate. The endeavour is there, as you say, but they'll be a good team looking to finish on a high and potentially looking to qualify as well. So these games have come down to the 80 minutes, but it's hard to think about next week when you're just after, I suppose, not leaving a game behind, but being disappointed by not getting over the line.
Munster are hopeful that Peter O'Mahony can return for their final Pool 3 fixture away to Northampton on Saturday. He hasn't played since last month's defeat to Castres due to a contusion to his calf. Munster say a decision on his availability will be made closer to Saturday's game, with O'Mahony increasing his training load this week. Dermot Kilgallen remains in line for his Munster debut, having trained fully last week with no ill effects to his wrist injury. Shane Daly, though, looks set to miss the trip to Franklin's Gardens after failing a HIA on Saturday evening, and he is following the return to play protocols. Munster lifted themselves to second in their pool, level on points with Saracens following Saturday's thrilling victory over the Premiership club at Thomond Park, a game we brought you live on Off the Ball. And we will have Munster's game from Franklin's Gardens live on this coming Saturday's Off the Ball, so stay tuned for that. The Scarlets confirmed today that Sam Costello will miss Wales' Six Nations campaign after he suffered a fractured collarbone in Friday night's 31-7 loss to Gloucester in the Challenge Cup. Costello will be out for 12 weeks as he requires surgery to realign the bone. He was due to be named in Warren Gatland's squad today, having started in November's defeat to the Springboks and having been sprung from the bench against both Fiji and the Wallabies. Costello Scarlett's teammate, though, winger Ellis Mee, is one of two uncapped players named today by Gatland in his 34-man squad for the Six Nations. Mee started 7 games for his club this season, scoring tries in the festive derbies with the Ospreys and the Dragons. The other uncapped player named in Gatland's squad is Ospreys out half Dan Edwards. There are some very notable absentees, however, when compared to their November squad. Gareth Anscombe, Rio Dyer, Cameron Winnett, Max Llewellyn, Ryan Elias and Tane Plumtree are among those overlooked by Gatland this time round. Gatland says 33-year-old Anscombe's age profile played a factor in his exclusion.
Yeah, look, that was, again, a big point. We've spoken about 10 as being the position for us in terms of developing some strength and depth over the next couple of years and looking to short-term and long-term in terms of building some players that get some experience in that 10 position. We know that Gareth's got a lot of experience there. He's, and probably one of the things that we talked about, he's 33 now, by the next World Cup he'll be 36, as you're going to be around in 3 years' time for the World Cup, and we need to really develop some options for us in that 10 position.
The Wales head coach says Mee is deserving of his call-up.
We thought Elliot was good yesterday. He's had some good touches and things, and for someone who hasn't played for a while, he brings some experience, and for us, continue to persevere with Evan. We know he's still learning his trade there, but around the field he's got a huge amount to offer. Yes, and we've lost some experience with Ryan and Dowie, but there's some really good youngsters in that hooking position, some depth, and I think over the next couple of years some of those youngsters will come through and put some real pressure on and some of those older players. So even though we're lacking a little bit of experience, there's definitely some quality in that hooker position.
And ahead of their opening Six Nations fixture away to France at the end of this month, Gatland's also been asked if, given their 12-game losing streak, his job is on the line during this year's tournament.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. So, there's been a lot of discussions and debate about that. I'm pretty well aware of the situation that we're in as a group of coaches and stuff, and we've just got to go out there and work hard and look to show improvements and perform well.
The IRFU has taken the next step in developing future generations of front row forwards. The advent of a new year brought about a new rule banning Irish provinces from signing overseas props, with the position considered an area of concern in terms of depth countrywide. Today, the IRFU announced the appointment of Seamus Toomey as Performance Pathway Scrum Coach. Toomey will work alongside Ireland Scrum Coach John Fogarty and the provincial staff to implement the National Scrum Programme while identifying and developing a new generation of front row forwards across the system. Currently working with the Ireland Under-20s, Toomey's previously been a forwards coach at both Blackrock College and Belvedere. He's credited with working alongside future Ireland internationals Ollie Yeager, Jeremy Lochman, Thomas Clarkson and Gus McCarthy during their younger days. And finally, an investigation has been opened in South Africa after former Cheetahs and Griquas prop Piet Bester was found murdered on a small holding in Bloemfontein. The 63-year-old was a retired magistrate. Two arrests have been made in connection with Bester's death. That's it for today's Rugby Daily. Don't forget to subscribe to the OTB Rugby feed to keep this podcast coming to you free of charge. Monday to Friday, I'm Richie McCormack and we'll be back with more Rugby Daily for you with thanks to Bank of Ireland tomorrow. Till then, thanks so much for listening.
We can't play this game anymore, but can we still be friends?
Off the ball. Is it a podcast? Oh, radio show. Awesome.
Don't worry, he knows who we are.
The second rows are quite old, and they're not as, they don't work as hard as Ireland. New Zealand's back rows, Sam Kane, is not as a rook property. I know we're going to get the chin about, but like, that's the honest truth. He would be ranked one of the lowest accuracy rookers in the competition.
Is it a podcast?
I never heard of him.
You did.
Swear box, man.
So you're just a shit Richie McCaw and Sam Kane can't rook. Are these things that would have fed into his thinking?
I'm sure deep down it would have motivated him to put something like that out there.
Off the ball. To a podcast?
Don't worry, he knows who we are.
Oh, radio show, awesome.